get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
Welcome to the Seed Sowing Sistah Movement on the Bashani Radio, on the Bashani Radio app, and on all podcast radios worldwide. I'm your lead seed sowing sistah, Patrice. Thank you for joining me today. We're jumping right into the topic, an answered prayer with an added bonus. But before we get into that, I need you to call a friend, text a friend, let everyone know, and post on your social media page that the Seed Sowing Sistah is on. Once you've done that, I need you to grab your pencil, your paper, and most definitely your Bible. So we're in the book of Ruth. I got to do a recap. We're in the book of Ruth. And as we're talking about it, we have now seen Ruth and Naomi and Orpah at the beginning. They bonded over the deaths of their husbands. And now we've seen where after all this happened, the spirit of doubt came against the spirit of fear that we heard in chapter one through the voice of Naomi. And with that voice of doubt constantly going on and on and on, it drove Orpah away. But it did not drive Ruth away because Ruth was steadfast in her faith. Once they got on the road and started traveling back to Bethlehem, we get here and Naomi gets here and starts labeling herself and blaming God and having a self-pity party. But Ruth was not having it. And she still said, no matter what goes on, I am here with you. We left off last week where they are now in the city. Ruth is now working for Boaz, who is a family member of Elimelech, of that clan. And she has been out here in the fields working diligently every day. And I'm taking a short break for shelter. And because she was so diligent in her work, she had PR agents, her public relations departments, AKA people who were selling all her business, and they were helping her to be positioned in the right place, in the right space to connect with her future. Today, we pick up at verse 10. We're going to go from verse 10 to verse 16, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. At this point, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you have noticed me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I have been told all about what you have done for your brother-in-law since the death of your husband and how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May he richly reward you by the Lord, O God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and I have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some leftovers. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. "Even if she gleans among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundle and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." Wow. Talk about a moment of favor from a prayer that was connected with two women in a desperate situation. So we start off right here in the midst of this. Last week we left off, Ruth was gleaning in the field. That was a part of the heavenly welfare plan. And she's been gleaning behind the harvesters. And this catches the attention of the foreman. The foreman shares the information with Boaz. And at this, when we open up this particular day, Ruth is saying, "How can you find so much favor for noticing her, a foreigner?" What I love about this is that we get to see Ruth in the most grateful space. She bows down. When's the last time you bowed down to just the Lord in his presence of how awesome he has been to you, to show that you're grateful, you're thankful, that you honor him, and that you're humble. She literally bowed down because she knew this was an answered prayer. Kisi too, by the way. When you go back to verse 2, when you see that her and Naomi were speaking, in verse 2, it says, Ruth the Moabitess and Naomi said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grains behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Literally, as she said that, at that moment, her and Naomi were on one accord and they were touching and agreeing for her to have that answered prayer. When's the last time you touched and agreed with someone to have an answered prayer? Then let's go to key C3. Ruth acknowledges that she is a foreigner in a strange land, yet she shows that she is overboard and excited and grateful for the assistance. Have you ever felt like you just was in a space and was like, you know what, who's going to be my heavenly helper? And literally, this is what's happening at this moment for Ruth. She's realizing, hey, I'm a stranger in a strange land, but I am so grateful for the heavenly assistance that I've been given through this man. And that connects us right back to Proverbs chapter 3, when you talk about having favor with God and favor with man. There you go. That's where we were going. Then when you get to verse 11, look at Boaz's reply. Boaz replies and says, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and your brother and your homeland and came to live with the people who you did not know before. Literally, her PR agent talked so good and told so much of her story that it literally gave her a leg up. You know, you ever had this person that was so busy telling all of your story, they didn't realize that while they were telling your story, they was giving God the glory in the process? That's literally what was happening here in this section for Ruth. Then you also get to see how big of a bold step Ruth took by going with Naomi. She had left it all. She literally had done what we had seen many people in the Bible do. She did what Abram had done. She had left it all behind to go and follow God, not even realizing in her mind it started out with Naomi, but it ended up being that she followed God. Verse 12, he says, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. I love this because in this connection with her and Boaz, you don't see any of the physicality. You just straight up see blessings after blessings after blessings. They speak and bless each other in every interaction. When's the last time you connected with somebody that they constantly just spoke blessings over you, constantly just fed into you, spoke life? Every time he deals with her, he speaks life and blessings to her. And what I love about it, as you go a little deeper in this verse in verse 12, you get to see that Boaz acknowledges who he worships. He acknowledges that, yes, may the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then when you get to verse 13, she says, Ruth, may I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she says. You have given me comfort and spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have standing of one of your servant girls. Now, you know, this is deep because, you know, many times you could be at a place and be working for years and somebody could come in new and they could have such a deeper standing and a view that they automatically get the favor first. Imagine that these servant girls have been sitting back and waiting and saying, you know what, this is a job, but eventually he's going to notice me. And by this woman stepping in and having humbleness and being grateful, it opened eyes and lanes of favor for her. And then what I love about it is that Ruth, KC8, knew the power of favor from the right person. Many times when we look for favor, we look for it from a particular person or from a particular place. But guess what? Ruth didn't know where her favor was coming from. All she prayed in verse 2 was, in whoever's eyes favor shall come from. Then when she got here, I love when she got a little further. This turns into favor, but it also turns into a meal. And have you ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about how God can use a meal to put you in the right place in the mission that he's calling you to do? In this process, Ruth walked in just looking for favor. She wasn't looking for the mission. Isn't it amazing how God can take your blindness and just take that tunnel vision that you have and say, instead of it being tunneled, I'm going to expand it into way more than you could have ever asked for. I love how Boaz saw that Ruth was providing for Naomi. He was literally seeing the heart for her, the diligence in her. Verse 14, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. She sat down with the harvesters. He offered her some roasted grain and she ate it, and she ate all that she wanted, and she had leftovers. Here's something I want you to see. In verse 14, we notice how God uses Boaz to show that a person can feed you in multiple ways. Literally, in the spirit, Boaz was an answered prayer to Ruth about favor. In the physical, he had actually given her food, and not just food for her, but food for her mother-in-law. Then let's break down what he fed her. He fed her bread. This bread symbolized a gift from God. Just like if you think back with Moses, they had bread, or what they call manna, that fell from heaven. When you think about the bread, you think about the body of Christ Jesus, forgiveness. When you think about Jesus, Jesus fed the multitude, the crowds, and the bread he gave them was sharing and fellowship, as well as natural nourishment. Then when you think about the red wine vinegar, this symbolized the bitterness of Ruth's past experiences. But we also see that same red wine vinegar being used as a transforming agent to show her moving into a new and good godly experience. This grain was hearty substance that would have long-lasting effects. When was the last time you yourself were fed on such a hearty and soul-filling diet? Then when we get to the next part, look at who she's sitting with. Because I just love this verse. This one verse says a lot. It shows you how God can use a person to feed you in multiple ways. You break down the ways that the person has been fed and what they're feeding you. But then you also look at who's sitting with you, the harvesters. These people had planted in the same field and reaped in the same field. Yet Ruth has sowed in one place with her family and had been given benefits and reaping and a harvest for another place. This lets you know that even though you plant in one field, you don't have to necessarily look for the harvest in that same field. And it's amazing, because this was something that kind of brought a light to me. For years, I've planted and planted and planted in other areas, but the harvest came in a whole different city, a whole different place, from a set of people I never even knew before I got here. And then look at KC4, the harvesters brought about the first seed of the fruit of God's provision and blessing others. Literally, the harvesters was her first step to God's provision in the natural. And then the second step was that not only was she able to be provided for, she was able to be provided for Naomi as well. And then when she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Notice something. Ruth was invited to a table and was literally given a seat of honor. And when she was done, she jumped up to go back to work. Ruth's goal was focused on work at hand, not the man. Because clearly we know, Boaz is nice looking and such. But If you notice this, she wasn't focused on the man. She was focused on the job at hand. How many times have maybe you or even me been so focused on maybe the man or woman at hand that we didn't focus on the job at hand? Ruth gives us a good outline that we should be focused on the job at hand. And then the woman or the man will show up. Then verse 16, he even says to them, don't embarrass her. He says, rather pull out some stocks for her to pick up and don't rebuke her. What I love about this, and this is our last key seed, you get to see that Boaz is an archetype of Jesus when he goes to perform the miracles on the earth. When Jesus goes to perform miracles on the earth, he didn't embarrass. He walked with compassion and caring, and he corrected in love. It wasn't a thing of, I'm going to correct you, but I'm going to put you on blast. I love that because Boaz gives us a visual in the human form of what you can do when you're correcting someone in love. When you correct someone in love, you don't embarrass them. You correct them with compassion and caring. Well, let's jump into the key seeds and the actual wise words for the day with this, because this was just beautiful to me. When I think about the wise words, the first one that comes to my mind is your prayers are powerful. And it's important to know that God is always listening. He's always having his ear attuned to his children. He's just waiting on you to put feet to faith and to move on it. We literally get to see in this particular section that real connections not just empower you, but it feeds others and it's fulfilling to you at the same time. Then in this process, we get to see how God thinks of us, how he loves on us. Even when it looks like, wow, I don't know what's going to happen next, we get to see feet to faith and love in action. Well, I've been your lead seed sowing sister. Patrice, join me next week as we get into the topic, the threshing floor.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.